One day after Russian forces invaded Ukraine, they are closing in on the capital, Kyiv. Still, the Kremlin said today it was prepared to meet with Ukrainian negotiators in Minsk, Belarus. And Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, said he was willing to discuss neutrality for Ukraine. For now, those talks have broken down over the location. Earlier today, I talked to retired Admiral James Stavridis. He is managing director of the Carlyle Group and served as NATO's Supreme Allied Commander from 2009 to 2013. I asked him why Russia would consider negotiating with Ukraine as its troops move in on the capital.
I'll give you three reasons. One is it looks to me like China has entered the conversation, and it was an initial announcement out of China that Russia was willing to have a conversation. China has no interest in seeing the global economy crack as a result of this. And so I think there's some of that pressure coming from an ally and partner of Russia. Number two, I think it's occurring to Vladimir Putin that he could end up like the dog chasing the bus. The Ukrainians are tough people. They will fight. They'll be overwhelmed. They won't have air superiority. They'll take some hits. But I think he's looking at a long-term resistance inside the country. And number three, perhaps most obviously, he's starting to see the impact already of sanctions. His stock market's way down. The ruble's at an all-time low. So maybe he's willing to have a conversation. My one piece of advice, by the way, for President Zelensky is don't do those talks in Minsk. It's under the control of Russia. I think for him to go to Belarus right now would be like going to the Hotel California. You can check in, but maybe you don't check out. Do those talks in Warsaw or Paris or Geneva, but don't go to Minsk.
You mentioned the toughness of the Ukrainian forces and pushback. Is that something that you expected or a surprise?
It is expected. I know Ukraine well. I had Ukrainian troops under my command in Afghanistan. They are not NATO members, of course, but they are very much partner, friend. They deployed with us on multiple missions. They are tough people. They're Slavic. They have a culture of hunting and guns. And no, it's no surprise to me that they will fight back.
Well, Vladimir Putin is known for gaming out different scenarios. If the costs on the Russian military are perhaps higher than he'd anticipated, how might that play out? Is it still clear what the end game is for Vladimir Putin?
It's not completely clear. We ought to start by listening to Vladimir Putin. 3 days ago, he gave a speech in which he appeared deeply emotional, close to being unstable, in my view, in which he indicated that he was going to truly cross the Rubicon, decapitate the government of Ukraine, essentially install a puppet regime, and bring Ukraine under, if you will, the umbrella of the Russian Federation. It may be occurring to him that that's a big order of business. This is a big country, a spirited country. He's not going to be able to simply roll over them. And so he may be willing to discuss the idea of neutrality, as some have proposed. Look, NATO is not pushing Ukraine to join NATO. But NATO's position is if a nation is a democracy and applies, we will look at that application. In the end, the choice of whether to join NATO or not is not a NATO decision, and it should not be a Russian decision. It should be a Ukrainian decision.
What does neutrality mean? What would it mean?
We have a pretty good model of this, I think, when we look at Finland, somewhat Austria. It means a nation can be, for example, a member of the European Union, but would neither join NATO, a military alliance, nor would it join the Russian equivalent of that, something called the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which Putin has set up. So a neutral nation would not join a military alliance, but it would certainly be allowed to join a commercial alliance, if you will, a political alliance like the European Union.
Would that, in your view, go down a road where perhaps hostilities could start to ebb if these discussions go somewhere?
Well, from your lips to God's ears, let's hope so, because the human cost of this, if it continues on the trajectory it is on at the moment, will be potentially tens of thousands of lives lost, perhaps hundreds of thousands of refugees. There are already close to 200,000 Ukrainians who have crossed the borders into Poland and other bordering European nations. So let's hope the two sides can have a dialogue and a negotiation. But I'll tell you, I'm watching President Zelensky, who, you know, in his former life was a comic.
Yes.
I think Putin thought he could push Zelensky around. About 2 days ago, Zelensky changed out of his business suits, and he's wearing hunting gear. They're handing out rifles, thousands of them, to the population, and they are teaching people how to make Molotov cocktails. I think it's going to be a real challenge for Putin at the end of the day here. So hopefully that will clarify for him the smart decision, which would be to negotiate.
If indeed the Russian forces that are closing in on Kyiv actually take the capital and declare a new government that's loyal to the Kremlin, what does that look like across the country of Ukraine? Could there still be a prolonged insurgency in the country? Would it be a significant challenge to occupy Ukraine?
It would be an enormous challenge to occupy Ukraine. It's the size of Texas. It's got a population of 45 million. You know, Russia's population is around 150 million. It's not like China's invading and has masses of people to send in there and occupy. Number two, what will the Zelensky government do? I think they will first move out of Kyiv if it's overrun, and they'll go to Lviv on the far west. It's right on the Polish border. If the Russians start to close in on that, I think the Zelensky government would literally jump across the border into Poland, set up a government in exile. Think of what Charles de Gaulle did in the Second World War, keeping the spirit of free France alive. And by the way, Putin is not going to cross a NATO border. He does not want to go to war with NATO. Therefore, I think the Zelensky government has a series of fallback positions. And yes, I think there would be a significant insurgency. And I believe the West, to include the United States, would probably help train, equip, and organize that insurgency.
Can I ask you briefly about NATO and cyber attacks? Yesterday, Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Mark Warner talked to NPR's Aisha Roscoe and said if Russia launches major cyber attacks in Ukraine, the damage could spill beyond the country's borders and affect Poland, for example. Here he is.
You're rapidly approaching what could be viewed as an Article 5 violation of NATO, which basically says if you attack one NATO nation and Poland is a NATO nation, all of the remaining 29 nations need to come to their assistance. So we're in an uncharted territory.
So, Admiral Stavridis, what is the line here when it comes to cyber warfare?
Senator Warner, first of all, is correct. And the reason it could, if you will, infect Poland is because the electric grids are interconnected between Poland and Ukraine. A cyber attack, a virus released by Russia to attack the electric grid in Ukraine could easily spread to Poland and on into Europe. So he is correct to be very concerned about it. The definition of an attack to activate Article 5 under the treaty does not include, at the moment, a cyber attack. I think the nations would consult, coordinate their defenses, potentially reply offensively, collectively. But because it's not a defined level of attack, it's not clear what would happen next. This is something NATO has been grappling with since I was Supreme Allied Commander. Mm-hmm. It's time, in my view, to add cyber to the list of what constitutes an attack.
Well, cyber actors loyal to the Kremlin are widely assumed, is that right, of having taken out the power grid in Ukraine in the past?
Absolutely. 2017, they dropped the western part of the grid. That virus did infect other electric grids around Europe. And by the way, those same cyber gangs were the ones that attacked the United States by going after Colonial Pipeline and going after part of our food chain last year. So Russia has offensive cyber capability if they choose to create more escalation horizontally outside of Ukraine, watch for cyber.
Finally, what are you watching in the next day or two? This is moving so quickly.
I'm watching for the level of Ukrainian resistance. Can they show me video of them taking out tanks? We've given them the Javelin missiles to do so. Can they take out Russian helicopters? We've seen them on video already shoot one down. Is their population stepping up and sniping away at the Russians from high apartment buildings as Russian columns enter Kyiv? If there's that level of resistance, I think that this has a possibility of moving Vladimir Putin to negotiations. Let's hope that's how it turns out.
Retired Admiral James Stavridis served as Supreme Allied Commander of NATO from 2009 to 2013. Admiral, thank you.
Thanks, Scott.